AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back up here, it's Game Time Decisions. Happy to have you on a Monday night. As we continue to roll through and reset the card, I want to just start quickly WNBA style as we've got two games that are going to be tipping quite shortly. And I'll start actually with the game that I'm not involved in, which is Liberty Storm. Let me just make sure. Leah Boston over the 11.5 points. That it get in the mix. I'll explain it in a moment. Liberty Storm, I'm a little tempted to grab Seattle plus the 13.5. Nneka is going to miss this game, who is one of the huge acquisitions they made along with Skylar Diggins-Smith, of course. And that's part of the reason we have this number. But she did miss last game, and the Storm grabbed their first win of the season. You're getting the Seattle Storm at a number that's pretty much the same that they laid to the Fever. And just pricing, the books would tell you the Fever are not in the class of the Seattle Storm. Now, ironically enough, I don't fully agree with that. Right, it's why I played the Fever season long in the way that I did. But that 13.5 number, if I were betting that game, that would be how I would look. Now, what I am betting is Aaliyah Boston, and I want to go through this in a little more depth. Again, 11.5 points, if you can still get it, get in the mix there, that's the number. The WNBA has been, I mean, look, it's amazing. Hey, sometimes you get so hot, because I'm really not like this. Look, we like to have fun, but I've bet enough and dealt with enough losses. I don't ever want to be like, ha, 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 look at me. But you get excited. We haven't lost a WNBA bet here on this show. 10-0, plus money in the mix. And I was tempted to bet the Aaliyah Boston double-double at plus 350. Part of the reason I didn't is if I was going to go above, I would have wanted a base points plus rebounds prop, and we didn't get that tonight. We did get a points prop, though, at 11.5. I was going to probably play this number over at 12.5. And I can't truly figure out why they have dropped this number in the way that they have. So this number was 15.5 on opening night. I was going to play that under. I ended up kind of, sometimes it just takes me a while. I like to run through the card before I don't place the bets as I go along. Again, probably an unnecessary piece of information. But nevertheless, I missed out. It was 14.5. But that was still good for me. That was opening night against the Connecticut Sun, who they are playing here right now. And it was a bang under. I mean, Aaliyah Boston never was close to hitting that prop. She scored in the single digits in that basketball game. And it was a little jarring, right? I mean, she only got to 4 points, 29 minutes, dealt with foul trouble. She struggled in the game. But she followed that next game up with 12 points and 15 field goal attempts, which is huge. Okay, so, all right, not only points ticked up, 15 shot attempts. That's what we're looking for. Now we're talking. If we can get 15 field goal attempts for Aaliyah Boston, she's going to average 17, 18 a night. In her rookie season, she shot 58% from the field. What is she shooting this year, currently? Three games, 39%. So that's the outlier. Game number two, both against the Liberty. She scored 12 points. 5 of 10 shooting. Okay, so now we've hit the efficiency. So can you pair it now for Aaliyah Boston? Can you pair the efficiency and the volume? I am sure for people, the easy assumption is Caitlin Clark stepped in. It's taking away from Aaliyah. and she's now going to go from last year being a player who averaged 14.5 a game to 10 a night. Except she's averaging more field goal attempts per game this year than she did last. 10.1 to 10.3, but the numbers are the number. And if Aaliyah Boston's going to get better in her sophomore season, which should be the expectation, she should be getting better looks, right, with Caitlin Clark as her point guard. I think you get rhythm start to develop here for Aaliyah Boston. I think you start to get more comfortable playing alongside Caitlin Clark. And I think you've got a lot of value on this 11.5 number, and I'm on it early. An early lead for the Son of the Fever. One other quick WNBA note, because you have Alyssa Thomas tonight on an odds boost for people with Clark to hit three threes and Alyssa Thomas to grab a double-double, as Clark did just knock down a three. Alyssa Thomas last year, the WNBA's MVP race was so fascinating. It was a legit tight three-person race that ultimately saw Breonna Stewart win it, despite Alyssa Thomas getting the most first-place votes, and a lot of people thinking Aja's the best player in the world. And somehow that was all simultaneously true. Aja at even money, I talked about it. I believe she will win league MVP. I probably would have voted for her last year, but I couldn't bet it at that price. So the Alyssa Thomas price is plus 850. And if you look at Alyssa Thomas last season, right, she at the triple-doubles were obviously eye-popping, because for the WNBA, that was abnormal. So she averaged on the year 15.5 points per game, 9 boards, and 7.9 assists. But she started to put the triple-doubles together. She is, at this moment, one assist away, two games, one assist away from averaging a pure triple-double. As much as I feel that Alyssa Thomas is going to win this award, right? Because, oh, they want to give it to her. Well, it looks like last year they wanted to give it to Alyssa Thomas. That didn't work, and she's potentially going to average a triple-double. Remember when Russ averaged a triple-double? He won that thing going away. Right? And it was the first time since Oscar. Certainly no one's averaged a triple-double in WNBA history. So this is, to me, if you want to play that MVP market, and I'm not getting involved, I just don't trust the market enough with how crazy last year was, but playing Alyssa Thomas, if she can average a triple-double or near it, right? If she averages a triple-double, she's probably winning the award, right? If she can average that triple-double, you're getting a great number at plus 850. And then hope that it becomes a race between just her and Aja, and Breonna Stewart drops off. And then you're going to be able to take that plus 850 and make your money, if you want. I haven't done it myself. I'm not there yet. We're early, right? But she's on her way. She's at the line right now. So, and she's been grabbing the boards, so we'll see. We're going to keep our eyes on that WNBA MVP race. The other bets for me tonight for the baseball, one game is already going right now. It's this Boston and Tampa Bay over. So if you want to play it, you can get a better number than I did, as the first three frames are scoreless. It, kind of a simple value thing, though, for me when it comes to this total here. This number with these same exact pitchers at Fenway Park was an 8.5, 9, I even think, potentially. We had a flat seven here at a minus 115 juice. I had to play that. And I know it was bet up a little bit, 7.5 plus 102. It's why I played the 7. And hopefully it makes the difference here. But again, if you've not bet this, you can now get, let's take a look. What do you think? 6.5. Hopefully not down to 6. 6.5. Minus money to the under. But you can get involved there at that number. The other thing I did was an outs-recorded parlay. Logan Gilbert, Sonny Gray. Logan Gilbert, you could find minus 148. I think the cheap number on Gray was minus 170. It's a very interesting market, the outs-recorded, because it pretty much always, as Clark knocks down her second three, that boost is in great shape. It's for the best pitchers. Rarely do you see 18.5. Rarely. And they don't do flat 18s. I guess it's just they don't want to do pushes that much because 6 is kind of a very clean bar. But Logan Gilbert and Sonny Gray each have only missed that six-inning mark twice So I really like both guys tonight. Update on your live baseball board. It's an early lead for the Guardians. I almost said the Cavs. On the Mets, 2-1. Atlanta's up early on San Diego. Second leg of a doubleheader. They blew a 5-0 lead to the Padres in that first leg. Atlanta reeling a little bit now with three losses in a row. We're scoreless in Miami. I mean, what's going on with this Ryan Weathers? This guy's going to win a Cy Young out of nowhere. Juice in Washington, 2-1 Nats up on Minnesota. And then we just started with that Yanks-Mariners game right now. We're going to talk Eastern Conference Finals next for you right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions. We're back. We're live. We're in the mix. And the Eastern Conference Finals are set. The Celtics are going to be hosting the Indiana Pacers. I've probably mentioned this a little too often, but it does pain me when I see this number, because it's easy to remember it was leap day. Little corny. Let's take a leap into the futures market. Celtics, they were plus money at the time to win the East. And whenever they are a top seed, they always make the conference finals, and you knew they'd be favored over whomever they played. But I still have my hesitations around this Celtics team, and I thought certain things in the East had to be sorted out. And Boston shows up now playing in the conference finals an Indiana Pacers team who had the longest odds. Once the postseason seeding was set, they had the longest odds of any of their opponents thus far. Miami had better odds because Jimmy was healthy heading into the play-in, and the Cavs had better odds than the Pacers. You can't predict a path like this. And it's a path that's been given to a team in Boston who was 14 games better than the next closest team in the East. 7 better in the whole league. So a team in the Celtics who looked mountains better than everybody else ended up with just an unimaginable path. And again, you would say, the one seed, you earn an easy path, right? Like, it was almost unfair that they were going to be playing the Sixers or the Heat in round one. But the fact that they played the Heat without Jimmy was nuts. And then they got the Cavs and the Magic, and they're like, okay, that's sweet, right? They deserve that. And then Donovan Mitchell didn't play in the final two games of the series. And the series was competitive on the score in certain spots. I know it was a 5-game series. So we show up to this, right? And you have Boston, whose series have been carbon copies, gentlemen sweeps, lose game two at home, simple as that, right? But now they're playing a Pacers team that I think, all things considered, has to be labeled their toughest challenge, right? I mean, you consider the fact that Miami didn't have Jimmy. I mean, that's not a... Is that a playoff team, Miami? Maybe Spo and just the back end of the East, okay, but it's a fringe playoff group. I mean, that was a true 8th seed they were playing. The Pacers are better than Miami without a Jimmy Butler. And the Pacers were way better than the Cavs team without Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen. So this is their toughest task here in the conference finals. Why the Pacers, though, are super interesting, and why they were interesting in that series against the Knicks. Now, it's funny. Here's what I should do, though. Let me be fair, right? Because we talk about their path. What about this path? No Giannis. Dame missed a pair of games. And then they play the Knicks, whose entire team falls apart by the time that series plays out, right? So in a way, you know what? Fraud. Double it up. Double fraud duty here in the Eastern Conference Finals. I guess the difference is, it doesn't really matter the Pacers' path, because nobody's looking to be impressed with the Pacers. The Pacers aren't supposed to be in the Conference Finals, and the fact that they are, tip of the cap, right? And they are not supposed to do anything other than win a game in this series. What can they? And why, again, I do believe the Pacers are such an interesting team, who, by the way, people were going to bet to beat Milwaukee with Giannis, who people were betting to beat the Knicks when the Knicks were healthy, is their offense is so good that it gives them a fighting chance, kind of no matter what. And we saw it. I mean, what they did in Game 7 is not supposed to be possible. Did you see the second Game 7, where neither team touched 100? The Pacers scored 130 in the Garden against the Knicks. It was, and I know it's like, OG couldn't play. I understand all of that. You know, Brunson's not there to be a defensive leader. That's the bizarre thing about that. I'm not sure Brunson would have made the difference. We'll talk Knicks in just a minute here on the show. But if the Pacers can score 120 points four times, or, you know, twice, is that enough to win two games and cover a series spread? That's just where the Pacers are so interesting. But here's another thing that's interesting. Keep that minus 1,200 number in mind. Let's look at your conference finals MVP board. Because we just, in hour number one, looked at Anthony Edwards, sit at minus 150 when his team was minus 170. Tatum is minus 220. His team is minus 1,200. So there are some people who, oh, come on, Tatum is obviously far gone, the best player on this team. Okay. I mean, yeah, he is. But he hasn't been that in these playoffs. He has probably, with the close of the series against Cleveland, edged out Jaylen Brown and Derek White for best player so far through the 10 Boston games. But the fact that that's a question is crazy. It's odd. It really is. It's abnormal that that's the case. And there's a part of me, and I'm going to break this series down a lot more tomorrow when it begins, but if I end up coming away loving Boston and loving I'll lay that 220, because you're laying 220 compared to minus 1,200. Here's the thing with the conference finals MVPs. We have four of these so far, two East, two West. To me, there is a thought that at some point you can get a Derek White, Pascal, to win one of these, right? Go back, think Kyrie, Gobert. But so far, your conference finals MVPs are Tatum, Jimmy, Jokic, and Steph. Right? Now, there are people who argued for Caleb Martin over Jimmy Butler. They went Jimmy Butler. There were people who argued Jamal Murray over Nikola Jokic. They went Nikola Jokic. So, it is interesting. Are they going to be willing to give it to Jaylen Brown or Derek White? Series one, Derek White was the answer. Series two, it was probably Tatum. But this is fascinating. Here's the one thing I will tell you, though. The Halliburton number should be shorter. It should be shorter. If they do win this series, it will be because Tyrese Halliburton was excellent. He might have outplayed Brunson. We'll talk about the Knicks in a minute.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on SportsGrid. It is a Monday night. Let's talk some New York Knicks. Did Halliburton outplay Brunson? Shot maybe unnecessary. It's more because I do like Tyrese Halliburton, the player. Knicks fans hating him. Get it. You should. I just think that Halliburton should hopefully get the appropriate credit he deserves in the series. Again, whether or not he outplayed Brunson is, one, irrelevant, and two, very complicated. But, like, you know, a lot of people, they pick on Tyrese Halliburton as, oh, his spot should belong to Brunson. Stop it. It's Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is just on that team to play defense. And again, if you want to justify that, okay, fine. But that's no. It's neither here nor there. The Knicks. And for the Knicks, first of all, this was a successful season. It was. It could have been a lot more. The Knicks record with Brunson and OG in the lineup was ridiculous. Regular season and into the postseason. The Knicks have every reason to believe that if they were healthy, they not only would have beaten Indiana, but given Boston a series. Because there is still an idea around the Celtics that they can crack. And the Knicks feel like the kind of team that could crack anyone with how hard they play. However, there are two questions now that they need to figure out that their season has ended in the conference finals for the second straight year. And the first one, I didn't realize how much it upset Knicks fans. But the first question is how much of this team's injuries are at the fault of Tom Thibodeau and the way he constructs things. Knicks fans have been, today, here in the office, bothered with me. Oh, it's a tired, lazy narrative. Oh, gosh. Hey, wake up. This isn't about you. This isn't a Knicks sting. It's a Tibbs sting. Maybe you only found out about Tom when he walked into MSG. I doubt it, though, so why are you lying to yourself? You think this wasn't the case in Chicago? You're not, you know, come on. You're not new here. And I'm not telling you the answer is definitively yes, that it's all his fault. I mean, having 6-7 key rotation pieces missing when Tom Thibodeau has the track record that he does feels a little too close to a coincidence. And I'm not telling you that if the answer is yes, you have to fire Tom. But at the end of the day, when you have your at the end of the season and you sit there with Brunson, Randall, OG, Josh Hart, Mitchell Robinson, and Bogdan Bogdanovic all out, all injured, it begs the question, should we be playing Josh Hart uninterrupted for the first 96 minutes of this series against the Pacers? It begs the question. Knicks fans say, well, hold on a minute. What did you want us to do at that point? We were already... Relax. It's very simple. If when you get to the playoffs, it's all fair game, this core would love that. No more playing guys 48 minutes in the regular season. I think that's a fair trade-off. Wear and tear is real. If it wasn't, guess what? Jokic would play 48 every night. He could barely play it last night. Little extra nugget shot there. That's the reality. Again, I'm not saying you need to find the answer to that question, be yes, and then fire Thibodeau. I don't know why this is so tough for Knicks fans. You're angry. I get it. It was a sad scene to lose that game. But be honest with yourselves. Wake up, okay? I hate when this happens. I'm being serious about this stuff. I hate when New Yorkers act like this. This garbage. Be proud. Be smart. This was an awesome season with an awesome group, and you love them, and that's great. You can't have all of them missing at the end of the bell. That can't happen. And that brings up valid questions around Tibbs. Here's the other question. Can you upgrade Randall? And are you ready to upgrade Randall? Randall's postseason track record is bad. There is not a ton of confidence that if you had Randall, this all looks that different. Notice when we say, oh, if OG was healthy, if Josh Hart was healthy, if Brunson was healthy, they don't usually point to Randall. Who's the guy? Is it Bridges? Is it Booker? Is it Embiid? Is it LeBron? That's the question. But can you upgrade Randall is the starting point. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back with you right here, Sports Grid, Game Time Decisions. So I catch my breath and a little bit of that frustration perhaps from, look, Knicks fans, just... It comes from a place of love for the city. And there's no reason for you to accept OG Anunoby being out there limping around looking like I just got out of bed. Whoa. Okay? That's nonsense. That's what that looked like.
Whoa.
Consigas here. Love to have you, Dave. Now, we've set the table on the eliminated teams from yesterday. That was the Denver Nuggets, and that was the New York Knicks.
Yes.
Here's my question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were charged with pricing the 2025 NBA title, and I told you, hey, we're not changing things. Knicks stand pat, Denver stands pat. Where do you think those teams sit on that list? You can ballpark it, but where do you think the Nuggets and the Knicks would likely check in for an NBA Finals price next season?
Denver second in the West, behind the team that wins it, and ahead of the team that loses the Western Conference Finals. No question. If it's Minnesota, it's going to be close. If it's Dallas, they're ahead of Dallas. In the East, who's better than the Knicks? What are we going to put? We're going to do the joke about the Sixers being better. We're going to put them higher. What are we going to say? The Heat, because they would have had Butler, they're going to be higher. We're going to put the Cavs when we know Mitchell's leaving. No. The Knicks are the second best team in the East. Today, tomorrow, until things change, they're the second best team in the East. So, I mean,
interesting.
What, fifth, sixth overall? There's probably four Celtics and four teams in the West that would be ahead of them as far as overall NBA championship odds.
So I think that's interesting. Let's pick those apart. We'll start with Denver. If Dallas wins, they could be behind both Minnesota and Dallas. They will obviously be in front of the Mavericks if Minnesota beats them. I think OKC is interesting. It has become very clear to me that most people just didn't like this team. I picked Dallas despite liking Oklahoma City.
Right.
But that team another year better, but maybe they wouldn't be ready to put them in front of Denver. So I think you're right, because we're not going to start moving anything else around the West. The Nuggets sit at 2 or 3. I think if Dallas gets through Minnesota, there's a chance they have a better price. Because Luka is close with Jokic. Enough.
Fair.
Luka might be league MVP favorite next season, right?
Right.
In the East, Boston we know, right? But Milwaukee sat in front of them all year long, comfy. And they're going to still book Giannis strongly. And despite eliminating Philly, unless the books are done with Embiid, which would be new, I would still expect Philly to sit in front of them. So that would give us fourth on the Knicks.
It would, but you have to consider, tell you guys this in New York all the time, New Jersey, that New York, New Jersey money's different. And if you're debating between two different teams and one of them has New York in the label, they get lower odds because that money comes and it comes strong. So I would put the Knicks right along with Milwaukee. I don't know what Milwaukee is. I know Giannis will be back. Okay. But I think I'd feel better about taking bets at the same number as Milwaukee with the Knicks and then letting the Milwaukee number slowly go down. I would rather start the Knicks ahead of the Sixers. I mean, I've fallen for too many years, K-Dub, with the Sixers. I'm not going to do it again till proven otherwise. They can't be better odds-wise than the Knicks. They just beat them in their building. And again, it was all different.
Right.
It's all, you know, whatever. But
yep.
Are the Knicks closer to getting somebody? Mm. You talked about replacing Randall.
So we set that stage with nobody does anything.
Yeah.
This is where it is important for the front office to be honest with themselves. Because guess what? Philly's going to do something. Miami's going to do something. And I still think Milwaukee will be priced in front of the Knicks. I think Giannis has that type of sway. So you might get Miami to jump back up. And by the way, we'll see what the Pacers situation looks like. Because they might say, hey, we're not going to rest on our laurels here after a conference finals run. We need to add. So the Knicks could sit pat, Dave, right? Boston and Milwaukee, I believe, stay in front no matter what. And you get three teams to make legitimate moves. Knicks do nothing. Well, now we're not a top four seed. Through the odds. That becomes a problem. In the West, listen. Now, we'll see if they actually do it, but the Lakers are in love with this idea of getting Donovan Mitchell.
Right.
If it happens, I know you will say, oh, give me all the Laker money. I know, but guess what? It's coming. Yeah, but Dave, it's coming.
Oh, yeah. It always does.
You're going to have to move him in front of Denver. if it does. You just are.
Not if it's our book. I lean over to you and say, relax, K-Dub. I know that's your guy.
And I would
know
ask you
the
this.
Lakers are your team.
And I would ask you this.
Let's
no,
go.
No, no, but no, no, no. See, most of the best man history of sports media. Have you seen the last two series? You think Donovan Mitchell would be enough to flip the results? I do.
Maybe.
They're up 15 every game without him. And then D'Angelo Russell forgets what basketball is. I'm supposed to guard who? What do you mean? I'm supposed to guard that guy?
Doesn't sound unbiased. I'm going to have to ask Sam. That doesn't sound unbiased.
Interesting. I just got a text from Sam. Jesse Winker hit a home run. I wouldn't ask that guy a thing. Now, conference finals prices are set.
Yep.
What did you make of those numbers, East and West?
A couple places out here opened extra high on the Celtics to go get the Pacers money. In thinking, the word around here was that no matter what the number was going to be against the Knicks, it was a Celtics dump Brinks truck play. Bad guys coming from everywhere, dropping money out of helicopters to get it to bet against the Knicks because it's seven games and they were beat up and tired. The Pacers also played seven games. I don't know how beat up and tired they are, but you had to get that money on the Pacers because the Celtics are probably going to win game one. The other one was a really good source of debate. How high do you make the Timberwolves? And I think the sweet spot was around 170. There were some guys that had it as low as 160. There was an outlier that a friend of mine had it at 150. I thought 160 was fair. I could see 170, 175 being pushed up. I don't know, K-Dub. I don't think it's a shoe-in that the Timberwolves are going to the NBA Finals. I really don't.
Of course, of course not. I mean, you hang out
people
with
people that already have a ticket punched.
Yeah, you tee me up. I know it. I see it on the face. He's trying to get me to say mean things about people. Don't do that. No, don't do that. You already look at the face. You already know I'm in a fighting mood. Why not? These jabronis, these idiots. Nobody's going to beat Denver. Nobody's going to beat Denver. 2-0 Minnesota. Timberwolves are the best team we've ever seen. Denver's dead. Denver wins three in a row. Men in Black memory eraser. Denver's the best team we've ever seen. Here comes Denver. I love the Nuggets. Denver loses two in a row. Here comes Minnesota. This Minnesota. Oh, my goodness. You believe Anthony Edwards. He's so funny. They don't even watch the Mavericks Thunder series. They didn't even watch it. That thing was on True TV only.
It was. You're right. Telling
rhombuses and parallelograms. Minus 170. Mavs opened as favorites against Oklahoma City in some spots. Minus 170 Minnesota.
Yep.
Do they get to take Jokic with them? Is that what happened?
No.
They get to bring him with?
No, you can't. No. You can't go. He's going to run with the horses. That's it.
Yeah, he's in a great mood today. We'll be right back with a big WNBA update.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back in the fold. Game time decisions. I will stop yelling about the NBA until tomorrow. Let me not make any promises. Here's a WNBA update. Kalen Clark, what looked like a pretty tough ankle sprain, has left this game here against the Connecticut Sun. I think it was tied up at her exit right around there. There's been a great close game here against Connecticut. It still is, 38-36. She's only been out for a minute or two. When a superstar like this, though, gets an injury, people start to panic.
Yep.
She just walked back to the bench, so that panic can cease, Dave. We're not about to do, she's out 3 weeks, 4 weeks, anything like that. I would expect her to be back in. I don't know if they put her back in before the half is done, 3 minutes, 3:30 left. Maybe, though, I would say she'll start the second half, just considering she just walked to the bench.
Yeah, I think that is encouraging. The shoe was off. She limped off. She's back on the bench, tying up the shoe. Maybe she'll go in just quick to last minute or whatever to do something. But, man, they went all in, huh? Brand new court in Indiana. It looks great. Trailing right now. There's a lot of people that have her prop over. I can tell you that right now. There's a lot of people that want to have her go back in, K-Dub. This is one of those ones where
no doubt.
Making the halftime number, you do the in-game right now like she's never coming back. But you see her come back like that, you have to react to her coming back and being okay.
Yeah, I think think about this, right? What's the most annoying thing that could happen? She doesn't come back in, fever went outright, and the worst people you know make the argument that they're better without her, right? So I'd be cautious running to the sun. Aaliyah Boston's at 4 right now. I will tell you this, Dave. You asked, and to the best of my abilities, I did deliver. You said, hey, I need you to be locked in on the WNBA. We need edges. Haven't lost yet.
You went 7-0 on opening day. I said, my hockey guy, who's not really a hockey guy, but is really a WNBA guy. I said, I got the WNBA
guy. Don't tell me that.
I was trying to
open the door with my hockey guy?
I was trying to put you on other shows. I said, I got a guy.
I like that.
You give me 7 props.
No, I like that.
It doesn't happen.
I like that.
Boys and girls.
I like that a lot.
Get him, you got to enjoy him.
It's a good point. Baseball, Rafael Devers, 6 straight games with a home run tomorrow, Dinger Tuesday.
Unbelievable.
Not for me. We are on the over that game at the 7, so 3 runs for Boston. It's bottom 4. I'll take that. Any baseball thoughts for you today, Consig? Anything you had eyed up?
Well, I came in the old school Ray stuff because I like Tampa today.
Looks good.
I didn't know.
You? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know you were on Boston.
We got juice. No, I got the over. At the over, at the 7.
Okay. All right, so get the Rays to score some runs here.
Sure.
Washington rolling at home, and it's not just for Sam, but Washington every
that
day,
is.
Right? Milwaukee, yes, against Miami. And then, I mean, I really like this Gilbert guy for Seattle. That was an under.
Yep.
That's what we looked at there. And then – I don't know. I got excited today about the St. Louis Cardinals throwbacks and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They had Nelly come out to do this video and all these things. So I started to get a little excited about the Cardinals, and I paused and looked at it, and I'm like, man, every day they bet this Sonny Gray. This is a book guy play. Baltimore against the world. That's it. That's all I got.
All right, interesting. The Sonny Gray thing was interesting because – he's talking to DRS, and he said he liked Baltimore, but he felt like it was going to be a public dog.
Oh.
Then I saw Sonny Gray, and I was like, ooh, what's the number? But this thing was jumping up minus 135.
Yeah.
I couldn't get to the number. I was interested in a Sonny Gray bounce back. I couldn't get to that number. Minus 135 for a Cardinals team against Baltimore? I couldn't get there. I played Gray and Gilbert each to pitch 6. Easiest way to explain it. In a parlay,
nice.
Plus 160.
Okay.
So that's what we played with that. So
I like that.
You see the hockey?
That's good. Yeah, look at that. You went with the kid to score a goal. Plus 135. Stars are stars when you need them, right? Stars are stars in game 7s. You got
ready?
Biggest game, them on the road. He better score, K-Dub. Otherwise, they might lose.
4 straight games facing elimination. McDavid has scored.
Stars have
stepped up.
Yeah.
Steps up. Only 4 straight games without a goal. I like that.
Yep.
He only has 2 goals this postseason. See, this is where the books cost themselves. Let me tell you that. They don't post it. They don't post to know that much, though, right? I mean, maybe some do. But imagine cleaning up on that. How many games into the postseason is he? 11? 12 or 11?
Would they go
with LA? 5 or 6?
4, right? They swept? No.
Did they sweep?
5.
So you're sitting there 9-2 to the no on the McDavid goal score. A lot of books didn't make any money off that.
Nope.
Because they only have the anytime. Or no,
right.
Did they? Because they click it and then it grades
anytime.
No.
If he doesn't score, there's no.
Oh, so we made no money off of it. I'm saying the wrong thing. We didn't get to make any money. They win every night. Okay. Never mind.
The books are very happy with the results of him not scoring.
Yeah, they're loving everything they're seeing.
We're good with that.
They're offering terrible numbers and winning every night on bad numbers. Interesting.
I'll
give you a quick one.
Yep.
I'll give you a quick one. So yesterday, I don't even know why I didn't bring this up to you, because we were talking. We're gonna do a couple other things before we let Dave get out of here. But I bet the Premier League, because it was the last day.
Right.
The under in that Everton Arsenal game, which got there. That's not the point. The prices on those props, that's got to be the worst stuff I've seen. You're getting guys minus 375. The entire Man City team, you start 11 guys and one of them's a keeper. We got 8 guys minus money anytime goal scorer. Do you mean?
Welcome to the future. They're 5 years ahead of what this place is going to be like. I'm telling you, it's not going to get better. The pricing's not going to get better here in the States. It's going to look like that.
Right. So we'll just have to take everyone for 4-plus goals to try and make money. We'll close it out on the other side. Game time decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're in the mix. We're live. It's a Monday night. It's Kevin Walsh and Dave Schapperman. Before he gets out of here to head over to in-game live land, Consig, I realized there was something I wanted to ask you, but I couldn't remember what, and I've remembered. Shota Imanaga. You love this Imanaga.
Oh.
Even money to win NL Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
It's a pitcher prop, so you know I have my hesitations.
Correct.
But if that was Yamamoto instead of Imanaga, I said that number's minus 250, maybe minus 300.
Correct.
I'm tempted at the price. What do you make of it?
I wasn't even looking at that market until you said it. Now I might have to go shopping tonight. Check it out. I like that a lot. I was in Chicago over the weekend. I saw Skeens on Friday, and my intentions were to go see Imanaga in person on Saturday. Some things came up. Had a family situation. I couldn't go to the game. I went back to Vegas. Who's going to beat him right now?
There's a book that I was – someone told me there's a book that has Skeens at 6-1 to win. Look, here's all I'm saying. You want to get value. You want to – like – so if you want to beat a number but not cash a ticket, you bet Skeens at 200-1 to win Cy Young. I promise you it won't win. I promise you you'll beat the number.
100%. But
that's a Dave number. That's a you number.
Yeah.
Right?
Without a doubt.
Hey, get him to come bet Skeens. Bet him to come bet Skeens.
Yeah.
But they seem to be a little worried he actually could win Rookie of the Year, which is interesting.
Without a doubt. That's the thing. You have to look. It's not so much what you make the price on him. It's what the price is on everybody else and who the actual threats are to beat him. That's why the Imanaga price, I'm surprised, isn't minus money. Because we're into May 20th today. And
yep.
He has been everything as advertised and then some. And he's on the Cubs, which is still, it's not the Dodgers. You're right. There would have been a Dodger tax if it was Yamamoto. But he keeps winning. He keeps pitching well. His ERA is there. I don't know who's going to beat him, K-Dub. I don't think there's many challengers. So if it's me and you in that room, he's a minus money favorite. It's worth shopping. And it's worth putting it out there.
Yeah, I think the thing that's bothered me is I missed his Cy Young number when I shouldn't have. Like, we did a whole thing on the show about his Cy Young price, and then I just didn't bet it. It was a bad job out of me.
Happens.
But he's under 5-1 to win Cy Young. I'll ask you this, and I believe I know the answer, so it's a simple yes or no. Can he win Cy Young and not Rookie of the Year?
Yes.
You're the first person to say that.
Yes. Skeens.
See, hold on. Can I tell you, though? I've been worried about that. I keep asking because there's a part back here, and I think with everybody that I talk to that's trying to figure this riddle out. Oh, this is a good riddle. But it feels, for some reason, it shouldn't be yes, but that feels like the right answer.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it can be the other way, right? He can win Rookie of the Year.
No.
And not have to win the Cy Young.
Right.
That's for sure.
We'll figure it out. All right, Dave, get out of here. You helped and you didn't. In game live, Dave Sharapan will be in a mix right there. Is that with Matty Peralt tonight? Oh, that's good stuff. Oh, that's can't miss. Oh, I love that for the fellas. Awesome. Listen, I hate to leave you with my card already on the board. So I told you I wanted to get involved Astros Angels.
Are you? Wait a minute.
Reed Detmers is going tonight for LA, and certainly Detmers could be had. Righties or lefties. I know, shout out Donnie Wrightside. He's involved with some Kyle Tucker tonight. The Tucker prices are expensive, but rightfully so. He's been a monster. I was interested in maybe Tucker to score a run. I found it expensive. So then I was thinking between Yordan and Jeremy Pena. Yordan does not have good hitter-pitcher history, but to some degree that almost entices me because I feel like I'm getting cheap stuff on Yordan. He's minus 145, right? Hits, runs, RBIs. And Yordan crushes lefties because, of course, he does. But so does Jeremy Pena. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a little Yordan, 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, little Jeremy Pena for an RBI. And we're going to get in the mix that way as we close out Game Time Decisions. Loved having you. Great night here on the show. Aaliyah Boston, make it happen in that second half. And I'll see you tomorrow.